Podcast 29, for the first Sunday in Advent, the sermon on John the Baptist. The gospel reading for this sermon is Luke 1, chapter 1, verses 57 to 66. Today I'm focusing on one of the Bible's stories concerning John the Baptist. So we'll be looking at the birth of John the Baptist and his role in the gospel story. And at the same time, we'll examine the interplay between politics and religion. And as I've prepared for this topic, I've been wondering about politics and religion. Some people say that politics and religion don't mix. What do you think? Is there a role for the church being a prophetic voice to the political powers of New Zealand? For about 1,000 years, from Moses to Malachi, God spoke to his people by sending them prophets. After Malachi, there was a 450-year prophetic silence, a silence that was finally broken with the first prophet of the New Testament period, John the Baptist. The Gospels record at least four distinct references to John the Baptist as the forerunner, who was prophesied in Malachi 3:1-4. To prepare the way of the Lord. The gospel passage we've read today tells the story of John's birth. Just like Jesus, right from the start of his life, John was marked out as being special. Remember that Elizabeth, his mother, had been barren, and this child was a miracle for that reason only. Also, his father Zechariah had had a vision in the temple with an angel speaking about John. Because of his unbelief, the angel had struck Zechariah dumb. So in the passage we read today, when the baby was born, Zechariah had to write down the name because he couldn't speak it. As soon as he's written down the name John, he is able to speak again. The passage finishes with a statement of wonder from the people who witnessed this event. They say, "What then is this child going to be?" Of course, we know the answer to that question as the Gospels unfold the rest of the story of John. He grows up to be a prophet and the forerunner announcing the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. The season of Advent begins with the story of John the Baptist, because in this season, like John, we are looking forward to and preparing for the coming of the King at Christmas. God's word to all humanity came from a wild and unconventional man who lived in the deep of the desert, on the fringes of society rather than in its corridors of power, at the periphery rather than the epicenter. The divine messenger and his message originated in an unlikely place and from an improbable source. John would have been easy to ignore if you expected or wanted something normal, safe, or traditional. Neither John nor his message was normal by any stretch of the imagination. Some scholars think that John was part of the Jewish sect of the Essenes, who opposed the establishment religious hierarchy based at the temple in Jerusalem. Some of the possible connections for this include John's focus on baptism in water. The Essenes were very scrupulous about the requirements of ritual bathing prescribed in the Torah, the law. In our times, the most famous legacy of the Essenes are the Dead Sea Scrolls, found in Essene caves in the Judean desert. But at least this much is clear. John the Baptizer was a prophet of radical dissent. His detractors said that he was a demon, that he had a demon, Luke 7:33. In the end, he paid the ultimate price for faithfulness to his prophetic calling. By contrast, John's father had been part of the religious establishment as a priest in the Jerusalem temple. John fled the comforts and corruptions of the city for the loneliness of the desert. There he dressed in animal skins and ate insects and wild honey. In other words, like any poor person, anything edible he could find. There he also preached. Living on the margins of society, both literally and figuratively, he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People needed to repent, said John, because with Jesus the kingdom of heaven is near. This is the exact same message that Jesus preached when he began his own public ministry. As Matthew 4:17 tells us, from that time on Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's also the exact same message that Jesus instructed his followers to proclaim. In Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. In Jesus, God's reign and rule has arrived. John urged his listeners to prove their spiritual intentions by concrete deeds rather than by claims of religious or political affiliation. Some among the crowds took John at his word, but neither the occupying Roman political powers nor the religious establishment of the Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple did this. To their credit, they had the political awareness to understand that John's message was not only deceptively simple, it was also deeply subversive to the established order. So in considering my original question, should politics and religion be separate? Can they be separate? In this case, John the Baptist's answer is an emphatic no. John emerges from the desert, and about six months after baptizing Jesus, he publicly rebukes Herod Antipas, the tetrarch or ruler of this area, about a moral issue. So it's not a political issue, but a moral issue that John addresses to do with this ruler. He criticizes him for marrying Herodias, who had left her previous husband, Herod Philip, who was Herod's brother, to marry Herod Antipas. I know, too many Herods, too confusing. So Herod Antipas's response is ambivalent. He's recorded in Mark 6:20 as being greatly puzzled by John, and yet he liked to listen to him. However, his new wife Herodias hates John with a passion because of his public denunciation of her remarriage, and probably pressures Herod into putting John into jail. She then uses her daughter Salome to manipulate a promise from Herod, and after dancing at a dinner party, Salome, coached by her mother, requests the head of John the Baptist on a platter as a reward for her dancing. So John is beheaded and Herodias is triumphant. If you can agree with the principle that politics and religion are not separate, then who are the prophets of today, like John the Baptist, who speak out and bring kingdom values into the national and global systems of power? As I've reflected on this, I've considered several 21st century people who may be considered to be acting in a prophetic role to the political and government powers internationally and nationally. Internationally, my nomination for prophet in the footsteps of John the Baptist is Pope Francis, the current Catholic Pope. This Pope is definitely radical and somewhat subversive in what he says and does. This is a quote from a recent address to the financial powers of the world. I encourage the financial experts and the political leaders of your countries to consider the words of St. John Chrysostom. Not to share one's goods with the poor is to rob them and to deprive them of life. It is now not our goods we possess, but theirs. So for us sitting in the pews today, what does the story of John the Baptist tell us? Firstly, the Church cannot and should not ignore or consider itself separate from or uninvolved with the world of politics. If there is moral corruption or injustice in either local or national government, the Church must speak out in any ways available to it. Secondly, we must pray for the people we recognize as prophets among us in our society today, because being a prophet, as John found out, as a risky business. And thirdly, with his pronouncement and then martyrdom, John counsels each of us to turn away from anything and everything that might hinder ultimate allegiance to Jesus. He invites us to make our crooked ways straight, to flatten all hilly terrain, to prepare space for the birth of the Messiah into our lives. When we do that, we'll find ourselves in the living out of the kingdom of God that subverts and transcends all politics and religion.